You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Friday edition of Locked On Kings. The Kings back in action finally tonight. We've had to wait a while, but here they are and playing at home tonight, home tomorrow, home on Monday. So they come home and get three out of the next four nights in action at home on this four-game homestand coming up for the Sacramento Kings. Again, welcome into the Friday edition. I'm Jason Ross. Lots for us to cover today. Follow me on Twitter if you'd like. At JasonRoss1140, get the latest stuff with the podcast and on Kings, all things there. And we're just looking forward to tonight, Kings and Warriors. We will preview that. We also will hear from Dave Yeager. He was on our radio station, Sports 1140, with Grant Napier, the television voice of the Kings. That was a pretty good conversation that those two had, so we'll let you hear that. And like we said, we'll preview Kings and the Warriors. But let's jump into it. Let's go right to the coach, because not having him in this tail end of the last road trip was one of the more bizarre scenarios. If you don't know by now, Coach Yeager in the game against the Spurs got up a little bit quickly, and right after that kind of went right to a knee and was feeling a little bit dizzy, was checked out quickly on the sideline, then taken right into the locker room, deemed that he would not return for that game. Then the Kings ultimately sent him home. And Elston Turner, the Kings' lead assistant coach, the next game, the game they won to conclude the road trip in New Orleans, and Coach Yeager was back kind of getting tested and making sure everything is okay going forward. So that's where we pick things up from, is Grant Napier talking to the coach in their weekly conversation, and Grant basically started out with asking the coach how he's feeling.
I am Superman. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm just glad we're not in Minneapolis, where this morning it was -4. You know what I'm saying?
Man, my parents just flew in from Minnesota. Yeah, there's a 65-degree difference. They're pretty excited. We're up in 3 acres right in your backyard.
Yeah.
Being outside.
Yeah, good time. Let's update you on the situation that you had in San Antonio, where you had to leave the game and you came back. Everything check out, everything good. What's your status moving forward for this weekend?
It was a tough deal. You know, I just got real lightheaded and kind of, I didn't pass out, but kind of went down there. And before the game, I had met with a team doctor from San Antonio and wasn't feeling well. And the trainer, our trainer is just fantastic. He's like, hey, man, you might want to sit this one out. So I'm going to give it a go. And I didn't feel great and probably should have just sat out. But, so we've done a whole lot of tests. And Kaiser Permanente has just been fantastic. And our team doctor, Jason Braley, just super, and everything checked out. You get a little... weirded out, a little scared about, what's this mean? And we all go through that as humans. And so I didn't check out real clean, and we're good going forward.
That's awesome. We're talking with Dave Yeager. Talk to me about what you liked about that six-game road trip where the team, I thought, really came together and won three games, which is dynamite on the road. What did you like about the trip?
Man, I was so excited. I don't know if there's any as passionate as our fans are, man. I was so excited watching the game. Obviously, I wish I would have been there. I told the team that today. But to watch them on TV, watch the joy that they played with, the energy that they played with, played for each other, cheered for each other, helping each other, certainly with Coach Elston Turner at the helm, and they wanted to win one for him, which is fantastic. And before I left him in San Antonio, I said, you can let go of the rope on this deal and say, hey, we're just going to, trot through this last game and then get home off of this trip. I said, you can finish strong, because there's a big difference between going 3-3 on the road and 2-4. 3-3 is a success, man. And, they went out and played with a lot of heart and a lot of passion. I thought Costa Kufis was just tremendous on Anthony Davis. And sometimes those things are hard to see if people only look at the numbers. And, it's 17 points and 17 rebounds. But the biggest thing he did was, he helped slow down Anthony Davis. And I thought Zach really delivered the mail down the stretch, and our veterans providing their leadership carries to a practice like today, or the practices we had on the road where, we're 16 and whatever. And you come in the gym and we're getting after it, and we're going an hour and a half and we're getting better. The veterans are in on it. The young guys are in on it, and we're getting better. And so to see us flying around, and when you can see on TV teams that are and players that are playing quick, playing athletic and playing with a lot of effort, sometimes that's hard to see on TV. You can see it on TV, and I'm really proud of our guys. That doesn't mean, with a young group that points, we won't take a step backwards here or there too, because that's going to happen. But I'm really pleased with the last 2 weeks.
You know, it's interesting you say you can see it on TV, because in the Miami game in which De'Aaron Fox had that amazing putback dunk, we showed the entire bench and their reaction. And if anyone wants to know what's going on inside your locker room and how the guys pull for one another, the first player, the most excited player, the first guy we saw in the picture running onto the court was George Hill, and right next to him was Garrett Temple, two guys who I'm sure would have loved to have been on the floor in that situation, but they were genuinely enthused, pumped up, and excited. And to me, that picture is worth 1,000 words.
It's pretty cool, yeah, what we've got going on. You know, guys getting along and helping each other and just trying to get better. And, you know, Costa, you know, obviously I don't get to listen to post-game player talks, and what Costa summed up pretty well about, you know, hey, we're competing, we go out to win every game, and guys caring about each other, as long as it's not Frank Mason running out there 100 miles an hour, you know,
right?
But other than that, yeah, that's pretty exciting.
I'm not sure if I wanted you running out there 100 miles an hour. You know, I hey, let's talk a little bit about De'Aaron Fox and the growth that he has shown in the month of January. And now we hit the calendar to February 1st. I thought his 6-game road trip, boy, he put together solid games. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, he's learning. It's a tough position to play. And, you know, he goes out and gets better every night. And where he's picking and choosing his spots, I think he's seeing the court better. And understanding tempo of when to go 100 miles an hour and when to, you know, kind of go 50 miles an hour. And then sometimes when you got to get a set and you got to huck it into zone. So I think he's doing a great job quarterbacking the team. He's also doing a good job picking up and picking and choosing his spots of getting after people, you know, defensively. You know, the steal that he gets at Miami was just terrific. He kind of set him up with some pressure, poked at him a couple times and then gets a steal and he missed the layup. But, you know, I showed our guys on video. I said, all of a sudden, you know, Buddy was on the weak side corner on the other end of the floor. Buddy runs down and gets the tip in because we didn't quit on a play. And things that we're teaching and talking about in practice, they had the same thing. Wayne Ellington got a breakaway layup, and their team didn't run with him. Our four guys ran back. He misses a dunk. And we win by one. You know, and you can always point to a play here or a play there, but those kinds of things are things that you teach with to show your guys about how, you know, the best way to play is.
Dave, 3 games in 4 nights. In the last game, a lot of guys weren't able to play. Willie was out. Scal was out. Any update for the game tomorrow against Golden State?
Yeah, we're hoping that Willie will play. I think he's feeling better. We'll see how it goes tomorrow. He had a pretty good workout today. Scal will be out this weekend. And then, obviously, you know, Harry still is finished this year as far as games are concerned. And then, you know, Frank Mason's going to be still a while because I'd rather be very conservative on that. And our training staff is just fantastic because even if he could come back, like you and I have talked about, 2 games before the All-Star break, at that point, you know, you could, if you pass on those 2 games, and I'm not saying he could or couldn't, you get another 6 or 7 days with the break to get some practices in and find a rhythm and be comfortable and confident.
You know, Dave, I get asked this question a lot, and you've been involved in coaching for a long time. And so, you know, what you see in practice sometimes doesn't necessarily translate onto the court. I mean, there are guys that aren't good practice players, but when the ball's thrown up for real, they're completely different and vice versa. But I keep on hearing so many tremendous things about Harry Giles, and I don't want to give the fans, you know, a false bill of goods here. But, I mean, this guy looks like he has a chance to be pretty good, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he shows flashes of talent. And so, you know, for as far as hope goes, you know, you're hopeful on that. You know, but at the same time, you know, what were his numbers in college? He had a tough year.
Yep.
So then do you go back to high school and then you say, okay, well, we took a chance on him. But I think which was wise on our part because we had 3 picks. I think a team sitting out there with 1 pick may have trouble selling that to their owner. Well, you know, the injury history and this and that. So I look at him as gravy. I think he's got some talent, and whatever he can give us and show, you know, the world is his health, will then be able to, you know, show the world his talent. So the biggest question is if he can stay healthy. And, you know, there's a lot of other questions, too. I mean, you don't know if the guy has stage fright, and I don't think he does, obviously, right? But
sure.
What are the other issues that might come up? Because we've never seen him play.
That's a good point, yeah.
So, but obviously, we want him to be successful, and I mean, if we hit a home run on that deal,
oh boy!
I mean, that would be huge.
Yeah,
that would be huge, and nobody wants that more than all of us. So, you know, he's been working hard and keeping a good attitude, which is hard. Taking a red shirt year is difficult. I know the pay is probably pretty good versus a college freshman, but
right.
You know, I think he's happy. He's a good place. He always helps us at practice. And, you know, I yell at him just as much as anybody else. I think he likes that because, you know, it's always a problem when you're not coaching guys. That's when guys should get concerned.
Dave, another player that I thought made some positive strides on this six-game road trip was Justin Jackson. And, you know, he's, let's face it, I mean, he's in his first year and he's taking maybe a little bit longer to grasp of what's going on. You know, what are some of the things that you really are asking him to concentrate on when he's get in the game? Because I thought defensively he had a couple of nice games. Prioritize for me what you're looking for him the rest of this season.
Yeah, you know, I think he's going to be a guy who has to live on the fringes of the game a little bit, you know, get an offensive rebound, get a cut, get another cut, get a transition bucket, and be a defensive guy who can stay in front of people, and then make open shots, which is, you know, that's probably last, but is the one you can just absolutely just repetition out to become a better shooter. But he's not going to be a situation where he's shooting 10, 12, 14 balls, and you have the opportunity to miss three and, you know, you'll get three later on in the game. He's going to be probably a low attempts guy, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, he's Bruce Bowen or those kinds of things, but Bruce Bowen would get two corner threes per game, you know, and so it can be difficult when you're a role player to find a rhythm. And that's why you appreciate guys who can do that in a limited number of shots, can go 2 for 3 or 3 for 4 from the perimeter I'm talking about now. And I think that's where he can accumulate his impact on the game.
Something that we all deal with in this profession, and it's now, you know, we're 7 days away from the trade deadline. Is that ever talked about from coaches to players, or is it just, hey, you know, it's part of the business. It may happen. It may not. Do you address that ever with players before the trade deadline?
Yeah. We try and talk about it all the time. Each season, I should say, not all year long,
sure.
Not all the time, but. It's best, especially with, we have a bunch of young guys, so you don't want them getting mixed messages about what the league is about or where your heart should be. You know, your heart, you should just be all in where you are. And if you love big, you're going to hurt big. But I think it's always best to just be all in. And if you do that and give everything you've got, that's what you're known to be. And don't hold back. And if something happens and they did know about or didn't know about or was whispered about, just go as hard as you can. And when things get, you know, change. And that's not easy for players. You know, they're business guys, too, and they got to look out for their best interests. But just be all in, and we'll be up front with guys. There's always the rumors. And then each situation is handled individually with individual rumors. So, for example, you know, I talked to George last week. Our front office talked to George, and we got to a point where I just said, George, it's over. You know, whether we're talking about it or not talking about it, because he's not talking about it. I just, from my standpoint of coaching him, let's move on. And if it happens sometime in the future, in the next 10 or 12 days, then it just happens. But let's just play, and you be our guy, and help us win as many games as we can until you're not here, which is, you know, in 3 years or whenever. But I think that's mentally relieving for him.
Well, I'm thrilled, and I'm sure everyone else is, that everything checked out great when you got back with Kaiser Permanente. It's always good to chat with you, and we'll see you soon.
Man, I'm so fired up. I really am. I feel like a new man.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you this. Here's the problem that you may have. You said your family just came out from Minnesota. You know, once they experience how beautiful it is here at this time of the year, you may just have new house guests for the rest of the year. That's your problem that you're going to be dealing with.
You might, but we might call you and talk about the Vikings and what a great season they had. But it's over. It just hurts me. It hurts me that they won't be playing this weekend. But it would have been a great story.
It would have been a great story, no doubt. All right, thanks, Dave. We'll talk
thanks,
to you
man.
Soon.
Appreciate
yep.
it.
All right, that's the.
What was interesting there from Coach Yeager, a couple of things. One is in that interview, coaches definitely undersells the rookies. Grant asked him about a couple of guys. First, he asked him about Fox. You heard him ask about Justin Jackson. He asked about Harry Giles. Coach definitely undersells the rookies, and I think there's a plan. There's a reason behind that. Let them earn their way. Let them earn their minutes. Let them earn their status. And I don't think he wants to overhype anything, but I will say, just like Grant asked, a lot of people are saying very good things about Harry Giles, and we're seeing better things on the court, all of us with our own eyes, about De'Aaron Fox. Also, I thought it was interesting that Coach said they openly talk to players about the trade deadline. I think that's good, just in the best way to process it, to handle it, the rumors, especially for all the young guys, that if they ever get thrown into a rumor, that can be quite jarring. And no matter how long you're in the league, I mean, Blake Griffin's a veteran now of the league, but he found out via social media that he was traded. It's always a shock. And we'll see if the Kings, in less than a week now with a deadline coming up, will make any kind of moves. Now, the Kings play tonight, and they get the Golden State Warriors. And this team is obviously flat-out good, the defending NBA champs. And they're coming off a situation where it was not good at all. They don't lose two in a row very many times. We'll give you some numbers to support that. And they are coming off just a brutal performance the other night in Utah against the Jazz.
Rubio, no look to Johnson. Back to Rubio. Corner three. Good. 115-89. And the Warriors in danger of having their worst game of the year. Zaza the rebound. Stolen away by Efe Udoh. The Jazz will hold it up and won't shoot. Shot clock turned off, and the Warriors received their worst defeat of the year. A 30-point thrashing at the hands of the Jazz. As the seconds tick down, Warriors look to reclaim some of their mojo Friday in Sacramento. Utah 129 at Golden State 99.
I saw, a couple tough calls, ball bounces another way, and the game's right there. I saw one team get their ass kicked. That's what I saw.
How does that happen 50 games in when you're the world champs and they're struggling?
It's the NBA. You know, everybody's got talent. They were tremendous tonight. They were well prepared. They were aggressive, and our hearts weren't in it. And at this level, if your heart's not in it, I don't care how much talent you have, you're gonna lose. The key is always how you bounce back, and so we got to bounce back. But that was, I think our guys would tell you that was a pathetic effort out there. That was disgusting basketball.
Steph, your coach was very unhappy. Said it was kind of a disgusting performance tonight here. What do you see?
It's pretty accurate. I mean, we didn't have any aggressiveness on the defensive end to start the game. And then if you give it, I'm not saying they obviously made shots and made plays, but we didn't do anything to kind of slow them down, slow their confidence down in the first quarter. And you're playing from behind. We've had success at doing that, but I think the damage had been done in the first quarter, just giving them all the looks that they wanted. Really, the issue tonight was just defense. So that's obviously on us. It's a tough letdown game from how we played at home last game out against Boston. But gotta be able to bounce back. Just one of those nights that you hate to have. I asked Draymond on the bench in the fourth quarter, like, if he could remember, that bad of a performance that we've had in recent memory. Really can't. So. They're few and far between, but we got to understand that, once again, we talk about it every game. You can't just show up, and especially on the road, and expect to win. That's kind of cheating the game.
Well, Steph was talking there about trying to figure out, is this one of the worst games to date? Yeah, it is. It is for the Golden State Warriors. So for the Warriors, they have not lost three straight road games since the 2014-2015 season. That was when they lost three games to Memphis, at the Lakers, and at the Clippers, so they're trying to avoid that. Also, the 30-point loss at Utah is the largest margin of defeat since a 32-point loss that they had at Portland, and is the second largest margin of defeat under Steve Kerr. Here are some other notes. The Kings, one of six teams to defeat Golden State this season and last season. They joined Boston, Denver, Houston, Memphis, and Utah. Only Houston this season, Memphis last year, and San Antonio back in 2014-15 and 2016-17 have defeated the Warriors twice in the same season since 2014. So the Kings are trying to become another team that can do that. Some other things to remember, though, in the scenario of this series, or the last game in which the Kings won against the Warriors, 110-106, yeah, the Warriors played without Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. That seems to be forgotten because it's still one of the great wins of the year for the Sacramento Kings. But the Warriors are just flat out amazing. On an 11-3 record, they end up in the month of January. The Warriors have had a winning record for 31 consecutive months. That's the third longest streak in NBA history. You also have Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, All-Star reserves, joining Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. The Warriors become the first team in NBA history to have four All-Stars in consecutive years. And just individually, Steph Curry, he was Week 15's Western Conference Player of the Week. He's third in scoring, 12th in assists, 7th in free throw percentage. He's up there in three-pointers made. Klay is up ahead of him. Durant is ranked 6th in scoring, 3rd in blocks. Klay Thompson leads the NBA in three-point field goal percentage and catch and shoot points per game. Draymond is tied for 5th in assists per game at 7.3. You get the point. This team is good. It's going to take a great performance by the Sacramento Kings. And because the Warriors were embarrassed in their last game, and they were called out by their coach, basically, and I would anticipate with their fans in the building, more Kings fans, but there will be Warrior fans, it's going to have a great energy, a great vibe. It's on national television with ESPN in the house. It'll be fun, but I don't know if the Kings will have enough fight in this one to handle the Warriors. We'll see, but let's think back to the last time they played, and it was quite a night for the Kings earlier this year. At Oracle.
Got a minute 50 and counting here. Mason pulls it back. Two-point game at 106-104. Mason drives to the free throw line, hesitates, goes left, sets up the alley-oop. Cauley Stein finishes. Great setup from the rookie out of Kansas. And Willie Cauley Stein now has 19. 10 have come in the fourth quarter. This game is tied at 106 with a minute 38 to go. 25 seconds to go. Difference between the two clocks is 12 seconds. Ball in the hands of Bogdanovich. Dances to his left wing. Shot clock at 5. Bogdanovich looking inside, can't find anybody. Now he drives it against Draymond, hangs, shoots, scores. 10.4 to go. 2-point Sacramento lead. Iguodala with the inbounds pass to Thompson. Thompson working against Garrett Temple. Rolls hard right, pulls up, threes on the way for the win. Off the iron, no good. Rebounded by Bogdanovich, who's fouled. The Kings with 2.4 seconds to go. Have they stood the test of time? Two great defensive sequences, one only 2 2/10 seconds long, a foul to give, and then the missed shot, well defended by Garrett Temple. Klay Thompson now 5 of 12 on the night from three-point range. Bogdan has played so much international ball, even though he is a rookie. The last 3 years in Turkey, they won the EuroLeague championship. They won the Turkish League championship. Can he make this a two-possession game and virtually ice it? We'll find out. It's on the way, and it's good. You heard the net crack. The Kings lead 110-106, and only 2.4 seconds to go in front of a stunned and disbelieving Warriors fans. Baseball pass up the floor. Draymond Green wheels for 3. It's no good. This ball game is over. The Kings end the road losing streak at 9. They end an 8-game losing streak on the road in this building to the Warriors by a final score of 110-106. Yes, I know there was no Steph Curry. Yes, I know there was no Kevin Durant. And more than likely, it would have been a much different ball game had they been on the floor. But who cares? If you're a Kings fan, you just love the moment. They savor a 4-point win.
That game was fun. That game was a blast. And again, reminder that no Curry, no Durant, but still the Kings played great. Bogdanovich made some key plays at the end, including the eventual game winning basket. You had Klay Thompson missing the game winning 3, and the Kings won. So they still have 3 more matchups counting tonight, and then 2 more after that with the Warriors before this season, regular season matchup is done. But it should be a fun weekend. So the Kings and Warriors tonight, Kings and Mavericks tomorrow, Kings and Bulls on Monday. So a lot for us to cover when we're back on Monday. Hopefully you have a great weekend. Also, check out the Locked On Network. There'll be more great work next week that the football season is done, but we'll check out Locked On Patriots, Locked On Eagles, certainly for the winner of the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday for Super Bowl 52. But thank you so much for listening. We're back again next week with more editions of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.